Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ernest, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
Matt, MG the Mortgage Guy, let's get into this conversation. I'm not even going to waste any time. I feel like we haven't talked about real estate in a while, and just the basics of it as far as a lot of people are concerned. They are raising interest rates they've been raising interest rates for a while now. And we hear a lot of fear that that's going to cause a slowdown in the housing market. So can you just give you as a loan professional, loan officer, I'm not sure the exact title. What does raising interest rates mean? Is it going to have a drastic effect on real estate? What are some tips that people should be aware of? Give us the rundown.
First of all, shout out to all the earners going crazy in the chat for me. I love y'all. And love is love. So shout out to all the earners. So first of all, this is Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700, better known as MG, the Mortgage Guy. I am a licensed loan professional for almost 20 years in this business. I've been through a couple cycles. And what you guys are seeing, ladies and gentlemen, is something that is normal. This is not something that is abnormal. This is something that happens all the time. I've been preaching this for God knows how long on this internet, that interest rates will always go up and down, right? What we've seen over the past 2 years during the pandemic was a once in a lifetime opportunity. And when these opportunities happen, you have to take action. And this is why I've been screaming to my lungs, guys, go out there and buy real estate. Money's the cheapest it's ever been, and it will never be this cheap again, and it won't stay like this for long. Now, did any of us expect rates to go up 2% in a 2-3 month time frame? Absolutely not. No one was prepared for this. Not no one in the industry, not the consumers. But this is not abnormal. This is how the market moves. And this is a good lesson for everybody to learn, is that the market does not wait for you in your plans. The market doesn't care if you want to get an 800 credit score. The market doesn't care if you want to save more money. The market will do what the market will always do. Now, will this create a slowdown? Absolutely. There's a lot of buyers who will not be able to qualify because of home prices increasing and interest rates increasing at the same time. Will this cause a crash? Absolutely not. This will cause a slowdown. This will cause a correction that is needed. Home prices appreciated too fast, too soon. You know, we have 20 plus percent appreciation year over year during the pandemic years. That is not normal appreciation for real estate. Real estate normally appreciates 3-5%, depending on the market, maybe 7%, just depending on where you are. What we're going to see for the remainder of 2022 is that home prices will start to level out a bit, but that does not mean a crash, ladies and gentlemen. I need you to understand that. Home prices will still appreciate 5-10% this year, depending on what market you're in. But again, that's not a crash. So you're going to start seeing more houses stay on the market longer, which is a good thing for you buyers who've been waiting to buy a house, right? You're going to see some sellers now start to reduce their prices because they were unrealistic from the beginning. They were just trying to milk everything that they could get. So when you start seeing prices go down by 10,000, 20,000, please understand that that does not mean a crash. That just means they were just overpriced from the beginning. They tried to test the market, and now the market is telling them they have to reverse and go a little bit lower. But what we're still seeing is homes are still going under contract in less than 2 weeks. We still have less than 2 months of inventory nationwide. And the supply issue is the biggest problem that we have here in America when it comes to pretty much everything from cars. We was having this conversation. We ran into Eric, the car industry. You can't get a car right now, right? Lumber prices are going down right now, which is good for those of us who are building homes and things of that nature. But again, you still can't get the lumber, right? So right. These issues will still continue to keep it a seller's market, I believe, up until 2023. And I've been very vocal about this. And I've told everybody this several times that I think in 2023, third quarter is when we're going to start seeing a significant slowdown in the market, because it's going to take time for what's happening right now with the Feds raising rates and things of that nature for it to go through the system to kind of like marinate, so to speak, and for us as the consumers to really start seeing some price reductions. So I think right now, if you're looking to buy, I'm always going to tell you, if you are financially secure, you have down payment, closing costs, and you have reserves and you have job security, or your business is doing good and you need to buy a primary residence, you should absolutely do so. But just be smart about it. You know, don't pay above asking price. I've never been on here saying, hey, guys, go out here and bid $100,000 over asking price. I'm not a fan of that shit because I'm not going to do it for myself. So I'm not going to tell you guys to do something that I'm not going to do. But I think people should still go buy a primary residence if you need a place to live. And absolutely, you should go out here and start investing, because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to sit on the sidelines because they're waiting for something to happen that might never happen. So there's going to leave more opportunities for buyers out there who are educated, who have capital, to go out here and pick up some deals.
Matt, quick question for you. I saw a comment over and over again. Can you define what percentage is a crash for the housing market?
Man, I would probably say when you start talking crashes, you're talking about negative 20% in home prices. That would be a crash, kind of same similar to the stock market. But again, let's call a spade, right? The market has appreciated almost 40% in real estate in the past 2 years, probably more in certain areas like Arizona, probably damn near 50, 60%, right? Let's just say the housing market goes flat in these areas. It's still up 40, 50%. You know what I'm saying? So even if
everything's just going back to what the levels it should be.
It's just going back to where it should be. So even if you're talking about, well, it didn't appreciate 20%, it only did 5%. That's not a crash. It's still up, right? Like, it's still
the recalibration.
Yeah,
it's a it's a correction, right? It's getting back to some sort of normalcy, which we need in real estate. I mean, let's call a spade. People cannot afford for it to keep going up at these prices. So we need this intervention to happen right now. We need home prices to kind of level out so people can afford. There's an affordability crisis in America. There's a housing shortage in America. So everybody who's looking to invest, as investors, you got to start looking at the opportunities, right? Here's a great opportunity, because I know we like to do actionable items and actual steps here on Market Money's Red Panda and EYL University, right? So here's an action step. Pay attention to the zoning laws. I've been telling you guys about this for the past year. Look at the infrastructure bill that they signed into law. It's huge on zoning for ADUs, for accessory dwelling units. Look at Georgia. Look at Seattle. Look at California. Hell, in Seattle, if you have a 50 by 100 lot, a 5,000 square foot lot, you can put up to, if you buy a single family home, you could put 3-4 additional ADUs on that property. Now you can create.
What's an ADU?
ADU is an accessory dwelling unit, right? So look at your garage. You can convert that basically into an apartment. Look at your basement in New York. We've been doing ADUs illegally forever. Right. So now they're looking to pass laws in New York to make basements legal because of what? Housing crisis and affordability. People need places to live. So they're putting zoning laws in place from a federal level, which is trickling down now to state and county levels. Freddie Mac just changed their whole guidelines when it comes to ADUs, where you can use rental income from an ADU on a single family to help you qualify for a loan, whereas you can only use rental income to qualify on 2 to 4 families. So now you see the programs, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, are now changing their guidelines to recognize ADUs are something here to stay. This is not rocket science, y'all. Look at what all the institutional investors are buying. They're buying single families, right? There's a reason, because they know the zoning laws are going to change. Yeah. And what they're probably going to do in the next 5-10 years, I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing these hedge funds tear down these entire communities and start building up 3, 4, 5 properties on one property and expand their net worth. So you got to pay attention to the opportunities when it comes to real estate investing. What's the new flow? What's the new wave? And you got to go with that.
Now, you always say this to me, right? I always ask you, when's a good time to lock in your interest rate? And you always say now, because there's no guarantee that tomorrow it won't go up. So right now we got the 30-year fix at like 5.5% almost, mm-hmm. right? Obviously, as the interest rates go up, it becomes less affordable for people to get these loans. And so in your expertise and your experience in the field, how high do you think we can go with the interest rates in the next 12 to 16 months?
Oh, we're going to be 6.5% once the Fed raised the federal funds rate up another point this year. I mean, we're going to go probably 7% on the 30-year fix by the end of the year. Not even going to hold you guys up. So if you think it's expensive now.
And also,
wait, go ahead.
The reason why these are the levels the interest rates were at in 03, 02, 05, when there was no quantitative easing. So when I told you guys last year, they're letting crypto, NFT, stocks, real estate, used cars run up because they're going to say, hey, we gave you a chance, guys, to get money. You didn't take advantage of it. Now, there is a base level or median or moving average for what interest rates should be. Go look and see what they were when the Fed was not pumping money into the market and go back since 1929. The base rate should be 8.5%.
When I first came in the industry, I was refinancing people out of 10, 11% interest. And I came in the industry 2003. right? When I was refinancing people out of 10% rates and getting them into 7%, 8% rates, my first house that I ever purchased was a 7.25 on a 2-year ARM, right? Mm-hmm. And then I refinanced that bad boy a year later into like a 6.25, and I was happy in a pig and slot, right? This is, so being, having rates in that 5-7% on the 30-year fix, that's kind of normal, guys. It just hasn't been normal because the market crashed in 08, 09. And when Obama, President Obama's administration came in, they enacted, like Ian said, that QE. And then they started buying these bonds at a very high level. And we all got spoiled to interest rates being in the 4s, 3s. And then in the pandemic, they reactivated the program and now went into the 2s. So that's why I was so vocal, because I seen this firsthand, how the government back in 08, they did not want to save everyday Americans. They wanted to save the big banks. And that's when, that's why they came up with quantitative easing, was to save corporate and Wall Street, not America. But now, this time around, was a health crisis. So they had no choice but to save everybody. And that's when they started bumping $40, $50, $80 billion a month into MBSs and treasuries. I said, oh my God, this is going to get crazy. Everybody needs to take advantage of this because it's not going to last long. And they can't keep printing this type of money and doing this. So now we're in the normal real estate economy. I've always said, everybody's a top producer when money is cheap. Let's see what happens now when money is regular and you ain't got all these buyers out here in the market. So now you guys who've been over here, sitting here on the sidelines, even in the pandemic years, people were saying, we're going to wait. What the hell are you waiting for? Rate is 2.25. What is there to wait about? Right?
But interest rates was at zero. We thought we were going to go negative. Like, and that's why I tell you guys, every market is tied together. Go look at what's on the balance sheet of big banks. Real estate, now crypto. They actually said that crypto is the number one alternative investment. Mm-hmm. Futures, housing. When Blackstone and BlackRock began to buy like large communities at one time, I keep telling you guys, the number one job of every hedge fund and every bank is to make sure they make money in any market. That's why you have to invest in everything. That's why I'm not just a stock guy. That's why I also have a business and stock.
And you also have to look at real estate is the test of time, right? Real estate has been around when our grandparents was around. You know what I'm saying? So real estate is not going to never go anywhere. And you have to realize that no matter what happens, and this is why I'm vocal about, we as a community need to continue by. Our home ownership rate is 42%, right? The Hispanic home ownership, and shout out to all my Hispanic brothers and sisters, in the past 10 years, they did their thing. They were lower than us 10 years ago. Now they had a 51% home ownership rate. Nice. But our home ownership rate is less now than it was 10 years ago. That's a goddamn shame. So when you guys are listening to all these influencers, YouTubers, Instagrammers, TikToks telling us not to go and wait and this and the third, that shit don't apply to us. I'm sorry. It don't apply to us because our wealth, they're saying we're going to be broke in 20, 30 years. So for us, we need to buy real estate because real estate is a true wealth builder over the test of time. If the market goes up or down, guess what? You can still go outside and touch your property. If your stock account, your futures account, your options account goes negative, then guess what? You lose all your money. Game over. Sorry. But real estate.
And it's not marked to the market. So you're not seeing fluctuations. Like, imagine if you saw like the ticker for your house every day.
So let me ask you a question.
To hold everything for 10 years. Go ahead.
But when's the last time you seen rent go down?
That's what I was gonna say. Also, is that preparing for a possible, you know, economic downturn, recession, whatever you want to call it. One of these things that's gonna benefit is landlords, because now, unfortunately, not only will people probably not be able to buy homes at the rate that they were buying because it's less money, they lost their job, they have less savings, and they're raising interest rates, and they're getting laid off. But also people will be losing their homes too for foreclosure. So you got to live somewhere. That's the number one rule in life, is that you have to live somewhere.
Yep.
So unless you're homeless, you have to live somewhere. So now you have to rent. So now what that does is that puts more renters on the market, supply and demand.
Yep.
So multifamily apartment buildings, these are things that, you know, could potentially benefit from a downturn in the economy.
That's always an upmarket in something.
Yes.
And our job is to tell you.
Again, look at all the institutional investors, right? We always talking about studying, studying and studying here on Market Money. Study what the biggest real estate players are doing, and that's the institutional guys. They're buying single family homes when everybody on TikTok and YouTube is saying, don't buy, there's a crash. Yeah. But why do you think BlackRock's still buying? Because they want
who are the biggest institutional players, real quick, man, in the real estate space?
Oh, BlackRock, Buffett, you know what I'm saying? Just to name a few, right? These guys own probably half of America. And they're going to continue to buy all of the real estate because our people are just sitting here on the sidelines not buying nothing. And then we're going to complain and say, well, they're gentrifying the hood. They're kicking us all out. Well, we have the same opportunity to gentrify our own hoods, right? Rent is going to go up. It's going to continue to go up regardless of what anybody says, whether you like it or not. Landlords are not going to lower their price. It doesn't matter what happens in the housing market. And it's actually the housing market and interest rate increasing helps landlords more. Because Absolutely. Now why? People are not going to be able to afford to buy, so you're going to have to come rent my apartment. Or you're going to have to come rent my house. You want to live in this nice A-rated school district? Guess what? We have availability. We have this five-bedroom house. It's going to cost you $7,000 a month now. When you could have just bought it, and it would have cost you $4,500. This is what's going to happen, period, point blank, and there's nothing that no one can do about it. So what side of the fence do you want to be on, ladies and gentlemen? Do you want to pay somebody else's mortgage, or do you want to pay your own and get your tax benefits? Because real estate is a business, right? And you get tax benefits from it. So let's not discount, especially in our community, the opportunities that we have in front of us to build our wealth through real estate. I know we talk a lot of stocks and everything like that, but we can't treat real estate like the redheaded stepchild no more. Because we have to put our earnings into real estate plays. We just have to.
There's three people that had a big impact on my life and who I modeled my career after. Warren Buffett was one of them. Everybody put in chat, how many doors is Berkshire Hathaway on? That's why I would say master investor. Anybody in real estate, if you're looking to buy like commercial property or residential property, and you want to know the best price to get in, let me flex. Let me put what the comps are. Top five. I'll tell you the price of what to buy. Their job is to know where to buy every commodity on earth. Trust me, if Revolt go for sale, man, them boys can grab it. I know Diddy ain't going to let it go because all the royalties on the back end, right? That's why I'm like, same with Urban One. That's why I put out the challenge, right? If we really want the culture to win, then why don't we pile into one company and take over that one company and own majority of it? Then even with the biggest real estate player in the space right now is still McDonald's, and now Apple is making a move there. Bill Gates owns the most farmland. The system is always the same. Go study the greats from 1920 back. Go watch the documentary, The Guys Who Built, The Men Who Built America. Your job is to own everything. James Pierpont Morgan bailed out the United States of America, and banking regulation came from one person bailing out the country. Tech, investing as an angel, venture, real estate, stocks, crypto, NFT, long-term investing, short-term commodities. You have to own everything and quit selling grandma's house the week after she fucking
died. Please. I mean, I think you just touched on something good. Look at McDonald's, man. McDonald's, the biggest real estate player that's out there, but they flip burgers. You know what I'm saying? But they're the biggest real estate player.
Of the franchise flip burgers.
Yeah.
McDonald's holds real estate.
And it's an incredible model, and we all have that opportunity. Look, if you're a first-time home buyer, if you have a business that needs a brick and mortar, look at mixed-use properties. Right. You can buy a mixed use property, which is a commercial property that has residential units attached to it. As long as it's less than four total units, you can use an FHA loan, 3.5% down, and you can buy a commercial property using an FHA loan. So
Derek Falcon told, not to cut you off, but Derek Falcon told him that was episode 11, arguably the greatest episode ever recorded, not only in Earn Your Leisure history, in podcast history.
No, Derek Falcon is the GOAT of all podcast episodes. Like, shout out to Homemade and Derek Falcon.
Shout out to Homemade. Shout out to Cloudy Donuts.
But MG's episode was episode 12, and that changed the game also. So that's a good combo, because Derek is a restaurant owner. So if you understand about restaurants, you know about 90% of restaurants fail. It's an almost impossible business to be successful at. One of the reasons why restaurants fail is because they have a high overhead and they have an inconsistent cash revenue that comes in. So one month you might make $10,000. The next month you might make $100,000. The next month you might not make any money if it's a pandemic where restaurants was closed, but you still have to pay your staff. You still have to pay, you know, your light bill. You still have to pay for food. So it's a very capital intensive industry. Mm-hmm. So one of his things is that he only opens up restaurants and mixed use properties. What is a mixed use property? It's very popular in the Northeast, like New York City and Baltimore, things of that nature, where you might have like three units where people are actually living up top. And then there's a restaurant on the bottom. BK9, our family in Brooklyn, they have that. So now he's saying that, you know, 60% of the expenses is probably covered by the rent. That's coming. So that takes a tremendous amount of pressure off him financially. So he doesn't have to come up with, you know, a tremendous amount of money every single month, because now not only is he a restaurant owner, but he is he's a landlord owner. So what it is it's actually a real estate play. Mm-hmm. Now you couple that with MG's strategy with the, you know, with the FHA, which allows you to buy these properties at 3.5% down, if I'm not mistaken, Matt. So now you can get, you know, let's say a $300,000 home, just saying, that's like, you know, that would be like $12,000, something like that, right?
Like a little bit less than 10 grand.
All right. So, yeah. So whatever the price is, it allows you. And even if it's much higher, you're still putting 3.5% down. So 3.5% obviously is a lot lower than a traditional 20%. Mm-hmm. So, and then, from my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, you have to live in the FHA property for 1 year to be compliant. Correct. So now, if you're the restaurant owner, you live in one unit for a year, and then you can actually move out, and then you can rent that unit, and then you can do an FHA again, correct?
Correct. So once you refinance out of that FHA and go into a conventional mortgage, then you can go ahead and use your FHA again for your next primary residence. And that could be a 4-unit, that could be a 3-unit, a duplex. You know, it's kind of like the Burr strategy, you know, that buy, renovate, refi, you know what I'm saying, strategy that investors use. It's the same thing for just the everyday homeowner to build their wealth by house hacking. And on buying mixed-use properties, it's a good play. Also, you know, I want people to focus on, so we spoke about mixed use, we spoke about accessory dwelling units, which is a good play. We have to look at other opportunities, like there's a housing shortage, right? And there's going to be a housing shortage. I think that the reports I've been reading, we need about 5 million homes to catch up with the demand, because, you know, we're growing, the population is just growing and growing and growing. So you got to start now looking into construction, right? A lot of old properties, you know, maybe you can't find land, but maybe you find a property that's in an area where it's zoned, and you find out the zoning where maybe you can turn that single family into a multifamily, or you can turn that single family into a new ground up construction. You know, these are the opportunities, because the buyers that are coming up, they want brand new. They want, you know, less maintenance, and new construction is going to give it to you. So we have to start looking into these things as a community and stop trying to go like the old ways. Look at these new opportunities, because that's where the money is going to be made. Development is not going to go nowhere. We need to build more houses, right? Mm-hmm. So guys, learn how to develop, learn about construction loans, learn about these things. So now you can get yourself in the game, because these are fundamental steps that you can take. You don't need to go out here and buy 100 doors if you're not ready to. You can take your baby steps, because real estate is a long-term goal, a long-term play. You can look up 10 years from now and be wealthy off of real estate, y'all.
And also to back your point, so not only does Berkshire own, so I still want you guys to put in chat, how many doors does Berkshire own? They also own the real estate firm that is the biggest in the country, Home Services of America. They did 346,000 transactions. So not only do they own the doors, they own the biggest company in real estate, while Buffett is known for stocks.
But you know who the number one developer of mobile homes in America is?
Tell him.
Warren Buffett's company.
Y'all don't have to listen to me.
Diversify your portfolio.
Even when people like, yo, you was tripping. Last week was about my passion and telling y'all, man, if you're black, you only have 2 years if you're not up.
24 months.
That's it.
Don't follow what I say. Follow what the top five governments, top five countries, and top five richest people do. How do you get the money out? I know somebody gonna say that. Partnership. If you are of integrity and you're trustworthy, if you go to these meetups that we have, you'll be able to find partnership. And I always ask you guys, if you guys have a great idea, why don't you ask us to partner with you? Collaboration is the way. And so last week, I'm not going to yell again, because if you guys choose not to listen, cool. I'm going to focus on the ones that do. So for those of you that are focused on getting doors and long-term investing, and you can short-term invest and long-term and build a business, follow what we're telling you. This Mark, I'm going to be real. Market Mondays is more valuable than the NBA, because they don't.
It's not even close.
They don't even teach you how to invest in the market.
And shout out to the league. I love the league. Yep. I love the league. Love but the league. I mean, you can't compare education with entertainment, and that's no disrespect. It's not comparable.
My graduates from my school being Forbes.
Bag drop.
Mic drop. Bag drop.